Howdy, everybody. Welcome back to Reading Heathens, the unholy and holy uninformed Bible study podcast. I'm your host, Adam B., here with your other host, Daniel T. How you doing, Daniel?
I'm doing really good, man. I'm just trying to stay warm, keeping all the lights off, you know, keeping it quiet in my house.
You're trying to stay warm and keep the lights off?
Yeah. Well, what I'm trying to say is I'm trying to keep cozy on this Sunday.
What's cozy about having the lights off?
Is that a
cozy thing?
Yeah. I don't know. When I'm trying to chill out on my Sunday, you know, I don't want there to be a bunch of lights on. There's a combination of lights that I like turned on most in the kitchen that makes the lighting the best.
Well, let me guess what that combination is.
Okay.
You got the oven light is involved, like the stovetop light, mm-hmm. the light that goes above the stove. Do you use that one?
Yeah, that's correct.
Uh-huh. Because that creates like a nice little ambiance floating on your counters, you know, and it highlights some of the better parts of the kitchen.
I'm also going to make some eggs.
The other light is actually not in the kitchen. It's like a dinner room light or something that then fills in the rest of the kitchen.
Close, yeah.
Damn it.
Pretty close, except that it's technically in the kitchen. But that's only because I live in an apartment and the dining area is the kitchen and the kitchen is the dining area, you know, kind of. So I think you get it, but you're right. I turned on those lights. I made me some eggs. I cook eggs, omelets really slowly, you know, just kind of poking at them. To be honest, I didn't cook them all the way to this morning, but it was still nice. It was still fun.
You just ate raw egg?
No,
runny,
it was
raw egg.
It was pretty much cooked. It was cooked. Okay.
Well, Daniel, I'm glad you had runny eggs in a nice lighting environment. Luckily, I don't have to just talk to you for the rest of this thing because we're luckily we're being joined by our guest Ashley today. Hey, Ashley.
Hello, you guys. Hi.
Welcome to the podcast. Do you have any particular way you like to light your kitchen and or cook eggs? Because that's what we're talking about on our Bible podcast today.
And I was really hoping that the podcast would take that turn today because I have very strong opinions about lighting in my home. I've got some wall sconces that I think are similar to the overhead oven lighting that definitely makes it a bit cozy. And I am definitely someone that is like very much like my father, like a please do not keep the lights on. Why do we have lights on in the house? So I'm team turn them off. I like it nice and dark and cozy.
That's an important role in my household. Paulette, that's one of the things that I fail at is turning lights off. So she, you know, will turn them off behind me and let me know about it. Sconces, though, sconces are rad.
Sconces are super rad.
I don't even know what a sconce is, Ashley, but it sounds like it's in a castle.
Yeah, it's like sort of like medieval type of lighting, and it's real soft, you know, like a nice candle. And it's great. It's really good. I didn't pick them out. I didn't put them in. They were just here when I got here, but I take full advantage.
That's pretty sick. You know what I have? I have one of those flame light bulbs, and I put it in like a movable lamp arm. You know, it's like a telescoping lamp. And that way, when I'm playing D&D, I can read my notes with flame light.
It's pretty cool.
Well, I'm embarrassed. Let's move on to the Bible, shall we?
Nothing embarrassing there. So good.
Yeah, we're gonna really get into it on this one. I know I say that every episode, but it's like,
well, thus far,
this is a serious one.
Exodus has just been banger after banger. We're in the middle of the plagues. So God has already turned the water to blood. He's hailed and lightning and fireballed. He gave people boils. There were gnats and flies and maybe lice.
Yeah, he's pulling out all the stops. Like he's turning it up, and I'm here for it.
I think he's showing off a little bit. The Lord's over here showing out. And,
he definitely with all the hardening of hearts and kind of the way that he's kind of essentially forcing everybody to let him do his magic tricks. He really is just like It's almost like he's like, I just want to do this to see how it's going to go.
Daniel, I feel like magic tricks is a little bit disrespectful. Oh, these yeah. are miracles of terror.
I picture God is one of those traveling show guys from back in, you know, like the 1800s where they're traveling in the wagons and kind of busking for their money. And he just busts out of a makeshift stage and is like, look at my, you know, my terrors. And he's got like the hat and the coat.
Yeah.
And mostly bugs, because as we're about to see here in Exodus 10, it's time for the plague of locusts.
Ooh.
We've already had flies and gnats and or lice. One second. Let me check the volume. Yeah, I'm working with a new microphone over here. I had to make sure I'm still bouncing around. But let's get started on Exodus chapter 10. This is the New International Version. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his officials, so that I may perform these signs of mine among them, that you may tell your children and grandchildren how harshly I dealt with the Egyptians and how I performed my signs among them, and that you may know that I am Lord. All right, okay. That's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, he's laying it out pretty clearly there.
I'm going to create some horror miracles. You will remember me. This is verse 3. So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said to him, this is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says. How long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go so they may worship me. If you refuse to let them go, I will bring locusts into your country tomorrow. They will cover the face of the ground so it cannot be seen. They will devour what little you have left after the hail, including every tree that is growing in your fields. They will fill your houses and those of all your officials and all the Egyptians, something neither your parents nor your ancestors have seen from the day they settled in till now. Then Moses turned and left Pharaoh.
Ooh.
Pharaoh's officials said to him, how long will this man be a snare to us? Let the people go so that they may worship the Lord their God. Do you not yet realize that Egypt is ruined?
I found this part interesting that the officials are now kind of like on the side of the Hebrews, or at least the Israelites. Like they're like, look, it's like everything is dead. Hail has destroyed everything. It's like, come, like I'm. They're like, pretty sure the locust thing is going to happen. Like, all the other things happened. So, like, the locust thing is probably going to happen. So, like, and that doesn't sound, like, fun at all.
Yeah. Can you imagine just, like, being, like, that's your day job? Like, you have to get up and go to work and be like, God, what is next? Like, what are we? Please, Pharaoh.
At this point, you're just covered in boils, and like everyone's mad at you because you work for a terrible administration that won't let the people go.
Won't let the people go. Yeah, it's rough. It's rough out there.
I think this is the first time we get some speech. The first time we get some speech from anyone that's not Pharaoh himself, right? Like he has his magicians and they do things, but they don't talk.
Yeah. This is the first time we've heard. Actually, you know, that's kind of interesting. We've only heard in text, like the Pharaoh and Moses and Aaron speak to each other, which is, those are the only like scenes we've seen other than like the montage of terror.
Yeah. We're finally getting to hear that. Like it is, quite like the suffering for everyone around and they'd like it to stop.
their hearts have not been hardened.
Well, we actually learn in chapters coming up that, currently the Egyptians themselves, they've kind of turned on the administration. Essentially, that's what most people assume has happened. Is like they're like, look, all this crazy stuff has happened. Like, let them out of here. Like, so the people, he's kind of lost. I think this is an example of him losing the people too. He's losing the officials and, you know, all those people who have gnats and boils all over them.
Yeah, Yeah, it's the similarity is, I think, to, you know, maybe it's just because it's 2020 and we've got the election coming up. But, yeah, we got a grassroots movement, I think, happening with Moses. And he's really, you know, he's powering the people, you know, winning caucuses left and right.
How effective it would be politically to be able to give people boils. Man, yeah, that's what I need. It's just one of these powers to sweep the nation with an amazing campaign.
Yeah, it's a great motivator for voter turnout, you know? People will
come out
people
to the polls or I'm
going to
fill your home with locusts. Picking back up with verse 8. Then Moses and Aaron were brought back to Pharaoh. "Go worship the Lord your God," he said, "but tell me who will be going." Moses answered, "We will go with our young and our old, with our sons and our daughters, with our flocks and our herds, because we are to celebrate a festival to the Lord." Pharaoh said, "The Lord be with you if I let you go, along with your women and children. Clearly you are bent on evil." "No, have only the men go and worship the Lord, since that's what you have been asking for." Then Moses and Aaron were driven out of Pharaoh's presence. And the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over Egypt so that locusts swarm over the land and devour everything growing in the fields, everything left by the hail." Wowie.
Yeah. They were driven out of his presence.
Yeah.
Actually, you had mentioned the Rugrats Passover episode as something you watched growing up. I remember that, too. Do you remember who plays the Pharaoh? Is it Angelica, I would imagine?
It is 100% Angelica. She's pretty power hungry in the beginning of the episode, as I recall. And so she's, you know, she hears that Pharaoh has all the power. She wants the same thing, bossing babies around. And, you know, it's funny, the slave masters are like toddler bullies, too, like school kids bullies that work for her and boss the babies around. And, yeah, that was like a pretty, like, memorable part of my childhood, was like learning about Passover from bossy Angelica and Tommy Pickles, who plays Moses.
Yeah, Tommy looks swagged out, and does Angelica have like a sweet Egyptian pharaoh hat?
She does, and then they also have the Sphinx that is made in her likeness.
Oh, sweet. Well, DreamWorks, the Prince of Egypt, stole that from Rugrat. I imagine they stole several things. But yeah. Man, what I would give for an like abridged version of this story with Angelica being like, "No, only the men will go to worship."
Yeah.
like, can you imagine someone has wiped out your entire country and you're like, "Wait a second, who are you going to take?" No.
No.
Well, because they're still keeping up this fib. This is something I thought about reading when I was reading this the first time. They're still trying to keep up this fib that they're just going to go worship and come back later. Like, they're not even saying we're going to run off forever. They're still saying, "Look, we're just going to go worship for 3 days."
Yeah, it's
and
like
come
a
back.
Spring
it's like,
break.
Obviously, you're not. It's like, you're going to leave.
They're just going to do a little work retreat.
Yeah.
Go out in the desert.
It's like a Burning
Man festival.
Is that Rugrats episode also the one where they cross the desert, but the desert is just a long parking lot?
No.
Oh, I know what episode you're talking about. Different.
Okay. Yeah.
But also the same in a few ways.
Yeah. It's a similar story, only there's no, when the Rugrats are doing the Passover thing, it blends into full, like, story. There's no parking lot left. They're in the world of the Bible.
They sure are.
I'm going to pick... Where was I?
Pharaoh drove
13?
Them out. Pharaoh said GTFO.
And the Lord said GTFO. This is verse 13. "So Moses stretched out his staff over Egypt, and the Lord made an east wind blow across the land all that day and all that night. By the morning, the wind had brought the locusts. They invaded all Egypt and settled down in every area of the country in great numbers. Never before had there been seen such a plague of locusts, nor will there ever be again. They covered all the ground until it was black. They devoured all that was left after the hail, everything growing in the fields and the fruit on the trees. Nothing green remained on tree or plant in all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh quickly summoned Moses and Aaron and said, I have sinned against the Lord, your God, and against you. Now forgive my sin once more and pray to the Lord your God to take this deadly plague away from me. Moses then left Pharaoh and prayed to the Lord, and the Lord changed the wind to a very strong west wind, which caught up the locusts and carried them into the Red Sea. Kasplash! Not a single locust was left anywhere in Egypt, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let the Israelites go.
Damn. He keeps doing it.
Why does
he keeps hardening that heart?
Yeah, so just so I'm, like, really comprehending this, like, God is making it 40 times more difficult than it needs to be, right? Like, he could just not harden Pharaoh's heart, and he would let the people go.
Yeah, absolutely. there's from the first or the second plague, Pharaoh was like, all right, yeah, they can go. And then the Lord's like, nah, man, I got more show to do. Although, I guess there is a case to be made at this point that if he's asking specifics like, no, you can just take the men on your little three-day journey on this point, maybe to get away forever and not be pursued, we got to go the full run of these these plagues.
But to like really, well, that is a, that's a point that I've read in the Quest Bible and other things, because, you know, it's kind of a question they had, like, why is God doing this? Why does sometimes Pharaoh harden his own heart, and then sometimes God hardens his heart? And the explanation, from what I can tell, is essentially it's like, you know, God lets you have free will sometimes, but then other times he just does things because it's his God stuff. And, you know, God's got to do those things. And then so it's like, it's a little bit of give and take. You know, Pharaoh does some hardening, God does some hardening, but it, you know, at,
it's what a
God's
going
to make it. Yeah, he's going to make it go his way no matter what.
The Lord loves to play hard to get. So I understand. I see what he's doing. You know, he's trying to, he wants them, but he doesn't want to make it easy. I get it. I mean, that was me in college. So, like, I get it.
Lord, I want you to live in my heart. Stop it. Come on into my heart, Lord.
The God's, he's pretty much, what he's doing is he's acting like a producer from the reality TV show Big Brother, you know, because in that show, like, the people can do what they want, right? So, but the producers are going to like, listen, if you're not going to vote this person out, if you're not going to vote out like the big strong man, we're just going to make a game where only the big strong man can win. You know, they'll do things like that. And that's pretty much, you know.
Yeah, it's exactly the same. It's like, hey, if you're not going to vote the Israelites out of Egypt, I'm gonna kill your whole country.
Yeah. It's just like a TV show.
It's just like it. Yeah, and like, you know, I guess I kind of can sympathize, because if you've got all these like cool magic tricks that you can do, and like you can bring locusts and take away locusts, like you kind of want to flex those muscles. Like you want people to know that you've got this in your back pocket. So you know, it's makes sense to me that he would be like, I'm going to harden these hearts, and then they're going to, you know, need to see what I can do. And I'm going to whip out these tricks.
And I think he keeps being like, just one more. Like, I think the Lord thinks he's going to be done, maybe. And then he's like, for instance, we're about to have a little bonus plague at the end of this chapter. And yeah. I think maybe it's like, the locusts were great. Oh, I got one more idea. I'm going to go ahead and I'll just read this one through. This is at the end of the chapter, starting with verse 21. Here comes the plague of darkness. The Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward the sky so that darkness spreads over Egypt, darkness that can be felt. So Moses stretched out his hand toward the sky, and total darkness covered all of Egypt for 3 days. No one could see anyone else or move about for 3 days. Yet all the Israelites had light in the places where they lived. Then Pharaoh summoned Moses and said, "Go worship the Lord. Even your women and children may go with you. Only leave your flocks and herds behind." Uh-oh. But Moses said, "You must allow us to have our sacrifices and burnt offerings to present to the Lord our God. Our livestock, too, must go with us. Not a hoof is to be left behind. We have to use some of them in the worshiping of the Lord our God. And until we get there, we will not know what we are to use to worship the Lord." But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he was not willing to let them go. Pharaoh said to Moses, "Get out of my sight. Make sure you do not appear before me again. The day you see my face, you will die." "Just as you say," Moses replied, "I will never appear before you again." The end.
Wow.
I read that the first time as Moses being like, after he says he's going to die if he sees him again, I read that as Moses being like, okay, yeah, just as you say, never going to see you again. All right. And then like, scurries out of the room.
Definitely won't be back tomorrow.
Yeah. See, but this is now, I mean, this is a plague I can get behind, because top of the show, we're talking about turning the lights off, keeping it cozy. I'm okay with like a little prolonged darkness. I think that jives with the vibe that I'm going for. Put your feet up, rest by candlelight. I'm into it.
I bet they came up with some cool family games.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. You can feel the dark. I hope the darkness, when he says you can feel it, it feels like a weighted blanket. It's too dark to even move around. But the Marco Polo would have been fun.
Yeah. Oh, you're right.
What I think of it is, I think about like your average Egyptian construction worker, you know. And every time
they didn't have average Egyptian construction workers; they had Hebrew slaves. That's what this whole story is about.
Yeah. Well, I'm just thinking, like, if I was an Egyptian and it goes total darkness for 3 days, you know, to me it's like, well, great, I get to be off work for 3 days.
That's
like,
what I'm talking
about. I don't have to go in.
Yeah.
You know. I guess let's take some time off. It's like when it snows in Arkansas. They just say, you know what? We'll just shut the state down for a couple of days. Let it, you know, thaw off later. We'll all just stay inside and play, you know, Monopoly or whatever they play.
Yeah, it's not surprising to me that the Lord had to come back with Moses for like one more plague, not to give it away, but like that he had to come back because this one, it had to have backfired. Like everybody was probably just like, oh, yes, nap time. Like they're into it.
I'm exhausted. Yeah. My country has been in turmoil for months now. Well, speaking of plagues that are coming up, let's go ahead and get this chapter out of the way. Let's rate it on a scale of... I thought I was going to segue into like, Ashley, will you come back next episode? But then I realized we hadn't done part of the show yet. let's rate this bad boy on a scale of 1 to 5 plagues. I don't know. Let's do stars. Daniel, how many stars do you give this chapter?
This is a fun one. This is a fun one, and this isn't random at all. But I'm gonna give it a 4. This is a fun. I'm liking this. I'm liking Exodus. This guy's getting 4 stars of the Lord.
Daniel, that's maybe your highest rating of all time.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know.
That's wild to me.
Makes sense.
What about you, Ashley? How do you feel about these two plagues here?
Yeah, I'm giving it a 4 as well. I think this has it all, right? Like this is what we've really been itching for. Hardened hearts, and Moses is lifting his staff and bugs are infesting the town. Darkness is coming upon them. Like 4 stars all the way. I'm super pumped to see what happens next. I'm in.
Hell yeah. Well, you know what? You guys showing the Bible some goodwill. Your hearts are not hard. So I'm going to join you with 4 stars.
Whoa.
That's a unanimous 4 stars.
Welcome to the Golden Plague Club.
All right. Well, Ashley, would you be kind enough to join us for another episode?
Absolutely. This is my personal joy. It's been a really long time since I've woken up on a Sunday and thought about the Lord. So, this is, yeah.
You know, our parents may be wildly disappointed with us, but Daniel and I do think about the Lord for a good solid hour every Sunday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, what more can you ask for at this point? So?
Could ask for it to be a little cozier in here.
Yeah.
Ashley, do you have anything you want to talk about or plug or tell to our tens of fans?
Yeah, I would love it if your tens of fans would follow my dog's Instagram.
Hell yes. Best plug ever.
Really trying to push that. If the Lord isn't for you, you might love my dog. So follow It Me Charlie on Instagram.
I'm clicking that right now. All right. Well, we'll see everybody on the next episode of Reading Heathens. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
A sovereign prince of Egypt, a son of the proud history that shone, heads on everyone. Surely this is all I ever wanted, all I ever wanted.